It is the faith of Abraham in Romans 4:16, and it is the faith of Christ spoken of here. And it is sheer unbelief that the scholars have foisted onto this whole matter. They see faith, and then they get their formulas in their mind. Well, how you get saved is by believing. And so if it's speaking of faith, well, it must be our faith. Even if it does give a case in the Greek that is essentially adjectival and an idea, it's the faith of or pertaining to Christ. And we can see how that same grammar is used in many places. And the faith of Abraham is just one good example. And no one ever thought it was anything but the faith of Abraham or the faithfulness of God and things like here, things of that nature. Similarly here, this is through Jesus Christ's faith. That's the first thing to see. Before we get to the good news, we need to know what it's founded upon, what it comes through, he mentions here. And he says that it is for all. That's the first thing to know. It's for everybody. Notice the end of Romans 3:23. He says, for all sinned and are wanting of the glory of God. Since everyone has a need, everyone is wanting of divine glory, and certainly we all sinned, then there is a need for this. And he says, and on all who are believing. So you have in the words, for all, at the beginning of verse 22, the immediate previous context, that every mouth should be barred, and that speaking about all avoiding him, clearly it's universal. There's no denying that in the previous section here. And then he immediately says, it's for all. And then he adds this little thought, and on all who are believing. So this is a matter that is on all. This has been conferred upon those who are the believing individuals. Don't infer that it's a meritorious thing that they're believing. Just accept, first of all. Don't infer that it isn't, for that matter. Just say it's on those who are believing. Then wait for light as to why is it that it is the believing ones who have this. But he says that it's for all and it's on all who are believing. For there is no distinction. For all sinned and are wanting of the glory of God. All men have a need. And here's what the good news is. Being justified gratuitously in his grace through the deliverance which is in Christ Jesus. That is what is for all. Being declared righteous or justified without a cause in yourself. It's the same word that is translated in the Authorized Version quite to the point in John 15:25. The Jews hated the Lord without a cause. And that is the sense. It was a gratuitous hatred. There was nothing whatever in him that called for hatred. Likewise, there is nothing whatever in us that has called forth this declaration of righteousness. But it is in God's grace, and it is a gratuitous event. And that's a thrilling thing to see the force of gratuitously. So that just as you're sure that there was nothing in Christ that called for the hatred of those who hated him. There's nothing that we have done, could do, or have accomplished that has brought us this. It is really a free gift. It is a matter of God's grace. And it is through the deliverance which is in Christ Jesus, not through the deliverance which is in believing in Christ Jesus. It doesn't say that. It says through the deliverance which is in Christ Jesus. And this is through Jesus Christ's faith. Actually, we might as well say through his faithfulness. That word is even just the word faith. Often the idiom in English requires that rendering to be readable. We speak of the faithfulness of God at the beginning of Romans 3. Well, here we're speaking of the faith or the faithfulness of Christ. Through his faith and his faithfulness and that which is inherent and attendant in the faith of Christ, that is where we find our justification or being declared righteous by God. And this charge against us, all sinned and are wanting of the glory of God, becomes you are declared righteous. And this is a legal blessing from God as our judge. And it's for everybody. But God is making a special display of it as he goes ahead and explains here. I like to liken it to a manufacturer who goes to a trade show and puts out on display some of his workmanship that you might see it. Now, it's not that that's all that he's ever going to make. It's that here's a display of it. That's what we are, is we're a certain display of God's righteousness in this matter of justifying men through the work of Christ, though they cannot be justified in themselves. It's entirely contrary to the rest of Scripture, Paul's evangel in these things. The righteousness of man is ever set forth throughout the administrations antecedent and even some subsequent to come that have to do with seeking your own righteousness in order to have a certain standing in the flesh. But that is not this evangel. And that's why it's so important to be established, as he says in Romans 16 at the close, in this evangel. Because if you're not established in it, you will find all manner of other things that are thoroughly scriptural that are not this good news. And they're true, but they do not repudiate this good news. That's where correctly cutting, believing what is said, judging who it concerns in the right sense, and all these matters come in to be a qualified workman and to not let the bad news become worse than it is and especially cause us to disbelieve the good news. Now, especially now, thinking of this matter of faith, and I'm speaking of now of our faith, not the faith of Christ. We've just spoken of that. I would say that faith is essential to our salvation, but it is not a requirement. It is essential, if you want to use that word, only in the sense that there are none in Christ but those who have faith in Him. There certainly are none who are in Christ except those who are believers. They all genuinely believe that He died and rose. God grants to all of them at least some faith in at least this much, as we read there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And this is a matter of happening upon the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with glory aeonian, 2 Timothy 2:10. God is the Savior of all mankind, but He's especially the Savior of believers. And Paul was enduring all that he was going through that he might be bringing the message that he had to those who are chosen and that they could be entering into these things. Now, the question is this in this matter. Is the grace of God effective or in itself ineffective toward our believing, entering into faith and subsequent salvation? Well, I judge it to be most effective rather than something that only opens the door but yet leaves it in the realm of possible failure. And I want to explain to you why I've come to that conclusion. Faith is God's gracious gift to us with which He overwhelms our former unbelief. That's one of the main reasons I believe that. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 13 through 16. This is another passage that many versions obscure the real sense of the Greek elements of this word we translate overwhelms in 1 Timothy 1:14. The compound only appears here in all the New Testament, but the elements over and more, a causal form of the word more, both of those are very common and they appear in many places. But as a compound, they only appear right here. But it's easy to see the force of them from their usage independently in many other passages. And here Paul is speaking of how remarkable it is that Christ Jesus our Lord, verse 12 of 1 Timothy chapter 1, that he deems me faithful. You think about Saul of Tarsus and that the Lord is deeming him faithful, and it must have just caused him to wonder ever in it what a grace it was. For he deems me faithful, assigning me a service. I, who formerly was a calumniator or a blasphemer, you can say too, the Greek word covers both usages in English. I, who formerly was a calumniator or a blasphemer and a persecutor and an outrager, but I was shown mercy, seeing that I qualified for mercy. That isn't what it says, does it? It says, I was shown mercy, seeing that I do it being ignorant in unbelief. If there was any qualification, it was a matter of being ignorant and being an unbeliever. In the Old Testament, you can read in the Psalms, in many places where God's mercy comes to those who fear and obey. It's expressed in various ways, but that is the gist of many a passage, that mercy comes upon fearing Yahweh Elohim and obeying Him. And that is certainly true in that administration. And even there, we shouldn't assume that man just cooks up his fear of God and his obedience, but most people do that. But the point is, here, it's not I was shown mercy the way people were shown mercy under the law in some cases. Of course, in other cases under the law, they were shown mercy because God was merciful to whom he may be merciful, even though they hadn't qualified at all. But there were those times when it was consequent to certain obedience. Paul says, I was shown mercy, seeing that I do it, being ignorant in unbelief. In that whole administration, if he had been one to attribute the works of God's Holy Spirit to the adversary, he would have been unworthy for life aeonian and would have been in no position to enter into this. So it was needful that he be kept ignorant so that he could be in unbelief, that he would not blaspheme the work of the Holy Spirit of God. And he was simply ignorant and in unbelief. And he says, as true as all these things were, verse 14, this important little particle, yet. Many things are turned around by a yet. And here is a great yet. Yet, the grace of our Lord overwhelms with faith and love. Now, he has just spoken about being a persecutor, a calumniator, and an outrager, and being in unbelief. Faith in love overwhelmed. The elements of this Greek word are over, more, eyes, or to cause to come over you and be more. What came over him was a gracious, powerful work of our God. And the unbelief that had attended his way was replaced with faith, and all of the hatred with love. And faith and love are more powerful than their opposite. And that's so important to see this. Many versions, because the theologians that have translated evidently simply do not believe it, and they have made their renderings more with their theology than with the text. They give an idea in this word in the English translation. Various words are used, but the idea in many that I've seen just leaves it to the idea that this was a wonderful thing, and clearly it was very helpful. At least you could take it that way. But the Greek term here just won't bear that idea. The grace of our Lord overwhelms all of that. Sounds like he didn't have a chance. That's right, he didn't. God saw to his need. Yet the grace of our Lord overwhelms with faith and love in Christ Jesus. And he says, faithful is the saying and worthy of all welcome that we read before, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, foremost of whom am I. He was doing the most serious opposition anyone could do, and clearly this made him the foremost sinner. He says, therefore I was shown mercy. Now, people were shown mercy for starting to be righteous in many cases in other administrations. Paul says, I was shown mercy because I was worse than anybody. That's why I received mercy. He wasn't doing good deeds on the road to Damascus. He says, I was the foremost of sinners, and therefore I was shown mercy. And the purpose in this was that in me, the foremost sinner, Jesus Christ should be displaying all his patience, taking all his patience with Saul of Tarsus, maybe nearly all with ourselves. And this was done with a view toward or for a pattern of those who are about to be believing on him for life aeonian. So whether you entered into your first faith as a child or you entered into it just recently as an adult, be that as it may, and whatever your circumstances, and whether it was very dramatic or a very quiet, simple thing, it's true of you once that you were surely in unbelief and locked up in stubbornness and darkness, because we all have been just that. And that the Lord, as he did with Saul of Tarsus, came to you and in his powerful grace overwhelmed that unbelief and at least some measure of what attended the unbelief and all. Apart from the degree, it was an effective work, because you see that this was done for, the work in Saul of Tarsus was done for a pattern of those who are about to be believing on him for life aeonian. So as God dealt with Saul of Tarsus, thus he deals with all of the members of the ecclesia, which is Christ's body. God, who saves us and calls us with a holy calling, has promised to glorify and conform us to the image of His Son, all of those whom He has chosen in accord with His own purpose and the grace which is given to us before times aeonian. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9. And this is a wonderful passage to read on your own as you're able to do in Galatians 4 verse 28. And Paul speaks of these matters in Romans 9 as well. He says, "Now you, brethren, as Isaac, are children of promise. I will come and there will be for Sarah a son." That principle is the way it is with us. For God chose us before the disruption of the world, with grace given before times aeonian, to be holy and flawless in His sight and conform to the image of His Son. That's what we're saved to enter into one day. And so when we think of these things, it's very evident that it is a very effective work. This is the gospel, not some offer of reasonably priced fire insurance. The customary altar call of today is simply a human tradition. Since it gets results, it is used. Though it may bring many converts to the Christian religion, as they say, it cannot in itself bring a single member into the ecclesia, which is Christ's body. Such presentations are not faithful ones, for Christ is to be announced and proclaimed, not offered as a great opportunity. When Paul announced and proclaimed Christ in Acts 13, he did so, and then when many thrust away the message and they rejected it, there were those who believed. And it says, "And they believed whoever were set or prescribed or arranged for life aeonian." And who set them? Well, Isaiah 26, verse 12. "Yahweh, our Elohim, O Lord, our God, you are the setter of welfare on the hearthstones for us." So to speak, it's just there on the hearthstone. You thought you went out in the field and got it. Well, in a sense you did, but really He put it right on the hearth to give the figure. "For, moreover, all our doings you contrive for us." Words of faith have a pattern of sound words which you hear from me, and faith and love which are in Christ Jesus, and say, "That's what I believe.